And to finish my story about former Purdue football star Chuck Kyle, make sure you join us 8 a.m. on Saturday for Shot Down Memory Lane. Good stuff from Chuck about his playing days with the Boilermakers back in the late 1960s. All right, let's talk some Purdue basketball and Purdue football. We'll go to the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline, bring in Brian Neubert, as we always do on a Tuesday on our show here. Brian, good afternoon. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Hey, we are doing great. Brian joining us on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. And Brian, let's start first with Purdue football, the news of Christian Gonzalez decommitting and committing to Colorado. What's your reaction to that? Was that a surprise or not?
Well, it wasn't a surprise in the sense that it kind of, the writing was sort of on the wall. You know, word kind of got out last week he was visiting Colorado. And then right after he did, Purdue started offering a bunch of other defensive backs. So it what really wasn't all that shocking in the short term. In the long term, you know, it was a surprising commitment in the first place. I've never seen a player name a Final Five that didn't include the school he ultimately ended up committing to that early in the process. It just seemed like it came from out of nowhere. It really kind of felt like an empty commitment in the first place. I know really the only reason I think he committed to Purdue was because David Blau, his brother-in-law, went there, and there was probably a little bit of a comfort level there. But it just seemed so out of the blue and so random and so just out of the blue that you always kind of wonder about those commitments, how strong they are, how they might endure. And I don't know what it was about Colorado that swayed him. He did have an offer from Colorado and officially visit Colorado before committing to Purdue. So it's not like they just jumped in. I don't know what it was about Colorado. I know he has a high school teammate going there. If he committed to Purdue in the first place because his brother-in-law went there, maybe the high school teammate was a big factor in this as well. But it just didn't seem like all that likely to endure a commitment in the first place. That being said, Jeff Brohm and his staff have done an unbelievable job the last couple of classes here retaining their commitments, and that's a really hard thing to do in recruiting nowadays. So I guess no one's immune to it, and they were sort of due, I guess. But I can't say I was terribly surprised, just because it didn't seem like all that strong a commitment in the first place.
And you lead me right into my next question, since we're about, what, 4 or 5 weeks out from the early signing period. So do you feel like things are pretty rock solid for Purdue now moving forward? Do you expect any moving pieces or any additional guys making a commit here over the next few weeks?
Well, I would think everything's pretty solid. You know, they're not having the season on the field they would like to have had, and you always worry about recruiting in situations like that. But obviously a lot of reasons have gone into why Purdue's not having the season on the field they've wanted. One thing Purdue does a really good job of, I think, is building relationships with these guys, building trust with these guys, and I think they get guys on board, so to speak, well before they're even eligible to sign. So I think that's something they do a really good job with, and I think that sort of thing transcends the results on the field a lot of the time. But, you know, Purdue can explain off its season very easily. I mean, any reasonable person, when you're told that, hey, here are Purdue's four most important players going into the season, and here's where they are now. None of them are playing right now. Most of them have missed the majority of the season at this point. You know, Purdue's season has gone sort of sideways on it for a lot of reasons. But it feels like the worst is over, and when they were really kind of cratering around the first bye week, that was when you would have thought that things would have really started to go in different directions on the recruiting front. That obviously didn't happen. I don't know if Christian Gonzalez's decommitment had anything to do with Purdue's results this season. I tend to believe probably not as much, but you never know. But I don't see anything else coming. But if I saw it coming, it wouldn't be a surprise, and these things are often surprises. So,
Brian Neubert with us from goldenblack.com on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline.
All right, Brian, it was Chicago State, but were there a couple things that you learned about this Purdue team on Saturday?
It was indeed Chicago State, and you know, there won't be very many opponents coming into Mackey Arena who are more overmatched than Chicago State was. I think, you know, I don't know if this team at this stage of its development has a concentration issue, because that term sort of keeps coming up, whether it was the unforced turnovers late against Texas being chalked up to concentration, whether it was the free throws at Marquette being chalked up to concentration. You know, Purdue obviously didn't play its best first half versus Chicago State. Maybe you chalk that up to concentration. Obviously, it's a 2 p.m. game on a Saturday against an opponent that literally has no chance. And you sort of wonder if perhaps it would be human nature for Purdue to kind of hit the snooze bar a couple extra times after the opening jump. But that being said, you know, if Purdue just makes a couple other open threes, and the threes were coming really easily in the first half against Chicago State, the slow start is not a slow start. The second half is basically the first half. Purdue probably pulls away pretty early, but those shots were coming so easily. It was like batting practice for Purdue, and Purdue just didn't hit very well. They didn't make a lot of shots that were really high percentage looks for them, which then begs the question of, you know, Purdue likes its three-point shooting, but that three-point shooting is still pretty unproven, and until they show that they're going to consistently make shots, you kind of wonder, is this going to be a good shooting team? I think it's important that Purdue is at least a better-than-average shooting team because they want to play through the post a lot, which they aren't doing a great job of to this point either. And it's important to kind of have that balance. But I guess you would really like to see Purdue's jump shooting kind of come around and be a little bit more consistent. They're at, I think, 32.6% right now through four games. I think it's a pretty representative four-game sample, too, because you've played two high-major opponents, you've played a road game, and you're at 32.6%. I know you'd like to be a couple percentage points higher than that. So in terms of the Chicago State game, you just kind of wonder about this team's aggregate concentration level, but also you would like to see them kind of turn the corner a little bit as a jump shooting team. There's no guarantee that's going to happen. I mean, as I said before, Purdue likes its shooting. It likes its shooters, but until those guys prove themselves as a group, you know, I think that probably remains a little bit of a question.
Is it the same level against Jacksonville State, another team that's in a conference that makes no sense geographically in the Ohio Valley Conference, which has a little bit more esteem with Murray State in it from last year? But is Jacksonville State at the level of Chicago State, or should Purdue fans be a little bit more worried?
Chicago State is arguably the most challenged program in Division I. They have no resources. They're really, really at a significant competitive disadvantage. So I think anybody else who would come in to Mac Arena would be a much, much more credible opponent. So Jacksonville State is absolutely a more credible opponent. Whether or not I'd be worried per se about Purdue, I still think Purdue's going to be a good team. At what point they're a good team, I don't know, but I wouldn't worry necessarily about them dropping a game like this. I know Matt Painter seems to have the utmost respect for Jacksonville State's coach. He talks him up a lot. Ray Harper seems to respect them as a program. I think this is more the sort of non-conference game Purdue wants to move towards to get some of the 300-plus sort of net ranking teams off of their NCAA tournament resume, but I still think that this is a game Purdue probably wins almost every time. So I don't know if I'd use the word worry, but you know, Purdue still has a lot of questions too. I mean, they've got to shoot the ball better. They've got to make their free throws. They just have to come together better. They have to execute better on offense. They're really struggling to score right now. But I don't know if I would look at them as constantly being on upset alert when these low to mid-major teams come into Mackey Arena.
Brian Neuber with us from goldenblack.com, Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. Brian, who needed that Chicago State game more, Isaiah Thompson or Evan Boudreau?
Well, I think, you know, there are important minutes there for Isaiah Thompson kind of moving forward. I think simply by the sheer fact that he's a freshman as opposed to being a senior like Evan Boudreau is, I think that I'd probably say Isaiah Thompson, because at that stage of your career, any success you have, regardless of the context of the opponent or the game conditions, really matters. And I know that he's a good shooter and Purdue wants him shooting. And, you know, sometimes when you're young, I think Eric Hunter is the best example of this, albeit he came in on a very different team than the one Isaiah Thompson's coming into. Sometimes those young guys just want to fit in. They just want to do right. They don't want to stand out necessarily. When the ball comes their way with a chance to shoot it, sometimes they're a little bit too deferential. And I know Purdue, from what they've said, have been trying to get him to shoot. And for him to take a bunch of shots and make a bunch of shots, perhaps that moves him a little bit more in that direction. I've never viewed Isaiah Thompson as a guy who's going to be particularly shy shooting the basketball. But if this makes him more aggressive and more effective as an offensive player, another scoring threat for Purdue in the opportunities he gets, success is never a bad thing for a young player. We will put it that way. So I would say it's probably much more significant for Isaiah Thompson, just because of where he is in his career.
Could that be a spring game board, spring game, kind of a, what am I saying here?
Spring board.
Yeah, spring game board. Spring game board, yeah, I'm already moving. I'm past men's basketball, Brian. I'm already moving into the spring game, which is really exciting. Aaron Wheeler, springboard game, that game. He had his first career double-double. Will that get him going, you think?
Well, he's been rebounding pretty well all season thus far through the first four games. So I don't think picking it up on the glass has necessarily been the thing that's going to be his kind of thermometer for how he's playing. I think Purdue would like to see him get a little bit better defensively. I think they'd like to see him get a little bit more physical around the basket. And shoot the ball a little bit better. You know, he's been a little bit inconsistent shooting from threes. They're very different threes he's getting now than he got a year ago. But everybody knows he can shoot the basketball. Everybody knows he's a good player. Everybody knows he's got a chance to be a really good player. I just think there's some things about the way he's playing right now, finishing at the rim, his defense, a couple little things just still have to fall in place for him to be perhaps be playing a little bit better. I think with Aaron Wheeler, everybody sees how good he can be because you see he's tall, long, and athletic, and he just looks the part. And I think a lot of people have been really, really quick to, like, put him in the NBA. And I think it's going to be a process for him. You know, he was a role player on a really good team last year. He did some really positive things. But he's one of the guys on this team who's moving into a role that he's not been in yet, where this is the first time in his career that, like, Purdue is winning and losing with him. They're relying on him in situations where the game is being decided, and they're just relying on him for so much more than they relied on him last year. I just think it's going to be a process for him to kind of grow into that a little bit, and that's probably another situation where the more success he can have early, the more confidence he can get, the more momentum he can build up, the better. But he is one of the guys, I think, who is capable of more than what he's shown to this point through four games. That being said, when guys are really talented, when they have a lot of ability, as Matt Painter always says, the standard is different. You expect more from them. So when you have a player who's capable of some of the things Aaron Wheeler's capable of, sometimes you tend to look at the things that maybe he could be doing better as opposed to the things he's doing really well right now. And But I just think he's capable of more. I think he's one of the guys who this team's upside is kind of tied up in, because he can be really good. And when he is really good, obviously this team is going to be much better than it's been thus far.
No doubt about that. Brian, thanks so much for the time and all the info. As always, enjoy the rest of your week.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Brian Newbert, GoldenBlack.com.